Good evening, y'all.
Good evening.
As usual, I will be sharing something from what I was reading in the Bible. But actually, I was reading through Jeremiah a while back when I came upon something that I read how many times before? I don't know how many times before. But you know how the pastor always says, you know, every once in a while you read something and you think, why didn't I see that before? Well, it wasn't really that so much as I never saw the significance of this before. And as I was reading it through this time, I just thought, oh, you know, there's a little more to that than I realized. And I just kind of made a note of it because I think about that time, I think I was asked to do a Wednesday night. And I thought, well, you know what? There's something I can be sharing on a Wednesday night. So that's where I'm at. It's nothing profound, nothing really deep. Don't be expecting too much there. But I just, as I was going through this time, it kind of struck me as, you know, there's a lot in there about the character of God, one of God's characters. And this passage to me pointed to one of God's characters. And it was a very good passage for that. I'm going to read through the passage. It's two chapters in Jeremiah, chapter 38 and 39. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I want to see if you pick up what I maybe saw in there, that during this whole time, there's a nation here being on the brink of destruction. There was warnings. In fact, I've got my iPad up here because I've got headings for all the chapters. And if I read some of those, you'll get the picture of all that was going on here with Jeremiah. Before I start reading, though, let's open in prayer. Lord, again, I just thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive and it does speak to us. And Lord, thank you for preserving it for us. Thank you that no matter how many times we read it, you continue to speak to us. And Lord, that's just... Also, that's just part of your character. You are, your goodness to us comes through in that, and I do thank you for that. So bless our time here and looking into your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all right. I'm just going to read in my iPad. It's got headings for the chapters here, and through the headings to the chapters you can get an idea what's going on. And it's just before the fall of Jerusalem. Okay. Zedekiah gets warned that he's going to die in Babylon. Then the obedience of the Rechabites. Jehoiakim burns Jeremiah's scroll, if you remember that story. The king was given the scroll to read, but it never even got into his hands. It was thrown into the fire. Then Jeremiah warns Zedekiah again about the impending fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah is imprisoned. Jeremiah is cast into the cistern. Jeremiah is rescued from the cistern, or the muck hole, you should call it. Jeremiah warns Zedekiah again. Then we have the fall of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah remains in Judah. Okay, and that's, Jeremiah gets to remain in Judah, and all the big shots, anyone that survived was taken captive. The poor people were left in the land, and they were given land to work, etc., etc., but none of the leaders were allowed to stay. Okay, so that's just the background here of what's going on. So I'm going to start reading here Jeremiah 38 and all the way through 39, just because I want you within that to, I don't know if you'll pick it up, because you might say, hey, that's no big deal. I've read that. I knew all about that. But I'm not going to emphasize it at all. But I... I saw something in here that really shows one of God's characters. And where's Jocelyn? You listen up too, because I think you could pick it up. Okay, I'm going to pick on you later maybe. Okay, all right, then. Jeremiah 38, verse 1. I'm going to keep reading here. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malachiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. For he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. In other words, surrender and you will live. If you don't surrender, it's going to be trouble. Okay? Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death. This is, they're talking about Jeremiah here. Okay? Let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. In other words, he's discouraging the soldiers that think they can maybe, you know, wait this out, and maybe they can survive. And Jeremiah is saying, no, just surrender. But people don't like to surrender, especially these people. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, or muck. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Okay, my next heading here is Jeremiah rescued from the cistern. Now when Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine arm holes under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So put them under your armpits, right? Going to make a sling to pull them up. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And Jeremiah warns Zedekiah again. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swear secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah the king, Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth into the king of Babylon, into the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Okay, that's pretty plain, right? Just surrender and everything will be okay. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. So he was afraid of the people that were on the side of the Chaldeans, and he thought, that's not going to be a very good idea if I surrender, because they will make sure that I get dealt with, and they'll probably kill me. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. I missed the verse here. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thou shalt live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire. Excuse me. And they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all the wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Okay. Skip down to verse 28. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Okay, next chapter. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle of the gate, even Nergal-Shazzar and Shabbon and Saman and Razman and Asaman and Ragabag, and with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burnt the king's house, no surprise, right? And the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him, with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left all the poor of the people, which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Okay, so all the nobles are killed. The poor people get to stay in the land. They get some land here. They get vineyards and fields. Then the Lord delivers Jeremiah. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him and do him no harm. Okay, this is Babylonians treating Jeremiah well, because he tried to persuade them to, they knew he was trying to persuade the people to surrender, especially the king. So they don't have a problem with Jeremiah here. Okay, so Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and these other guys here, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the man of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. End of my reading. Anybody want to guess what I picked out of there that was really demonstrates the particular character of God? In that whole story, all this stuff's going on. I tended to miss a character here that, you know, you got the Babylonians, you got the king, you got the prophet. But there was something here that, you know, why it struck me this time as being, why it kind of jumped out at me this time. I don't know. But did anybody see anything in there that stood out to them? It doesn't have to be the same as what I saw.
Is it about Eben, the Ethiopian?
Yeah, the Ethiopian. Yeah. Ethiopian eunuch. He gets a special word at the end there, especially. It's Jeremiah the prophet. God goes to Jeremiah and says, "Hey, I got a word for that Ethiopian slave." What does he say? He says, God tells him, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech," let's call him Ebi or whatever, "Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil." The city is going to be destroyed. And all that's going to happen. "But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me." In other words, God, to me, that all of a sudden, this guy's just a slave. Yeah. Nobody. Got it.
That when the king was trying to sneak away, he stayed in the...
Oh, he didn't. He wouldn't have gone with them.
No, so he was still at the castle or wherever they
were. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it was the king's guards. Yeah. I mean, if he's a Ethiopian eunuch, he's a slave. I don't know how he ended up in... Actually, this is why I have my map up here. He is... I always thought, I don't know, I had it in my head, Ethiopia was this way of Egypt. No, Ethiopia is down here in the Horn of Africa. Today that's Somalia out in the Horn of Africa here, called the Horn because it looks like a horn. Ethiopia is right down here, and today we have Sudan up here, and Egypt here. So this is the Red Sea, if you had the other part of this, the Middle East in here. So you've got... That's quite a ways away from Israel up here, right? So I don't really think that he got... I suspect he got traded by, say, the Egyptians. The Egyptians could easily have sailed down here, picked up slaves out of Ethiopia, and taken them back to Egypt. Israel comes in there, and they trade... leeks and melons for slaves, whatever, garlic, whatever it was. I don't think Israel went down into here and picked him up. And I suspect that he was taken as a slave. Bible doesn't say, but he's a nobody, really, right? He was more than likely... I would assume he was a black person. Yep. Cindy?
Do you think it's because he went and spoke to the king on behalf of Jeremiah to
absolutely.
Rescue him?
He
rescued God's prophet.
Yes, that was where he was first mentioned, right? When he went, yes.
Yeah.
Right. So what is that? He's got, look at the character he's got.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get out of that hole, he's going to die. Right? So, but we don't know until the end of chapter 39 that he did put his trust in God, right? I mean, he's a nice guy because he wants to get this poor prophet out of the out of the stinkhole, but we don't really know that he's been converted, or, you know, he's put his trust in God. And I don't think that happened just then. I think this man somehow got converted, or was a proselyte probably he was in the house of the king, right? So as a slave and as a servant, maybe he knew Jeremiah, maybe Jeremiah, he'd heard enough of Jeremiah's preaching, Jeremiah's prophecies. Maybe Jeremiah converted him. We don't know that, but how is it worded here? Because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord, in that last verse in chapter 39. Somewhere along the line, he did that, and I don't think he just did that then, right?
Verse 38.
Okay.
Where he went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king. That would probably be brave in itself, eh? Because we hear all the time where you're not allowed to go unless the king holds up his scepter and all this other stuff. But
he was one of the eunuchs. See, in verse 7 it says he was one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house. Now, whether they had kind of the same rules as the Babylonian kings where you couldn't go before, I don't know what that was like. But he obviously was right in the house of the king here as a eunuch, servant, yeah. But he was a eunuch. In cattle business, you have bulls and steers. In the slave trade, they made eunuchs. He was a eunuch. And by the way, does anybody else remember another Ethiopian eunuch?
Philip. Yeah.
Hey? Yeah, in the New Testament. Interesting, isn't it? That's quite a ways. And there again, I was thinking Ethiopia was west of Egypt. No, it's south quite a ways. So
Daniel was probably a Jewish eunuch.
Probably, right? Yeah.
Did you look up whether or not the Nile River was navigable? Because that would go...
Well, it doesn't matter, but they're right on the Red Sea, right? You can go right down the Red Sea, down to what we would call Somalia today, and then you're right there at Ethiopia as well. And who knows, I don't know how much of that was Egypt at that time, because Egypt could have been bigger, right? We maybe didn't have Sudan, I don't know. Sudan, Somalia, they were maybe all part of Egypt, except for Ethiopia. Okay, so, to me again, it's that character of God is God's faithfulness, or God's grace and goodness to people that are faithful. And I got a couple of the obvious examples here is Rahab and Ruth. Okay, both Rahab being a harlot, Ruth being a Moabitess, right? And put into the lineage of Christ. We have again the Roman centurion in the Book of Acts. That again, God was faithful to him because he had put his trust in him. He was maybe a proselyte as well at the time, but he wasn't a Christian. But so God was faithful to him to bring the gospel to him. Cornelius, same thing here in Acts, in the Book of Acts. Cornelius was probably again a proselyte, but had to be given the gospel, and the gospel was brought to him because of his faithfulness again. But God was just people that are faithful; they have a special place in God's heart. Basically, I covered this. I had the notes about just how I don't think he ended up in Israel from Israel going down into Somalia or down into the Somalia area into Ethiopia and taking him. I suspect he was traded to to them. Am I right in thinking? I'm assuming Ethiopians were black.
Yeah.
No reason to not think that, right? Yeah. So, my suspicion is too that let's say Everett and I and this fellow were there, and somebody's coming to pick slaves, and Everett, stand up, I'd say. I am, he'd say. No. Everett, you're staying. I'm staying. And this fella, he's going to go. And he's going to go because he's probably not my stature. He's probably, he maybe got taken as a slave to do hard physical work. Therefore, they look for somebody like that, stature like that. But if he proved himself faithful, I suspect that's why. And if he had character, that's probably how he ended up. That maybe is how he ended up in the king's house. That he was a faithful man and did whatever he was called to do. He did it faithfully. He had character. I don't know that for sure. Maybe he was taken as a eunuch and placed in the king's house to be a guard. I don't know. But one thing we do know is that he was a faithful man. Somewhere along the line, he put his faith in God, in the God of Israel, and God blessed him for that. And when he exercised his faith here in speaking to the king about Jeremiah's situation, again, God blessed him for that. And he got to stay in the land like Jeremiah. And again, it was just, how many times had I read this? And I think I always just skimmed over this fellow's part of the story. But it actually is a big part of the story because he had a big part in Jeremiah being rescued. And he also, his life was spared. And he was mentioned, his name is mentioned here in the Bible, and it's there forever. And it's simply because of his faithfulness. So I'll just leave you with that. To me, that just pointed out that how faithful people are special to God, and he has a special plan for them. Not that anybody can come to God without faith, but there have been these times when certain people have stood out in Scripture as being faithful people, and God blessed them in a special way. So let's give thanks for God's word again, and then we'll carry on what else we have here tonight. Again, Lord, I do thank you for the fact that you showed yourself your character in so many different ways, and Lord, you do bless people that are faithful to you and faithful to others, and thank you for that, and thank you for your goodness to us, and for your word, in Jesus' name.